And, you know, we work primarily, our firm is Retirement Planners of America, and I'm a senior advisor there. And we work primarily with people who are retired or retiring soon. And so all of the things that we do are with regard to two goals we have for you, dear listener, and for our clients. The first one is we want your money to last as long as you do. And then secondly, we want you to have a financial peace of mind. Those are our two goals. And if we can accomplish that, then we have done a good thing. And recently, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 independent financial advisors, actually for the seventh year in a row. And I'm very proud of that. But without our clients, we would be nowhere. So all you clients, thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of personal finances. So first of all,
we have a big show for you tonight.
Whoa, Ed Sullivan pops out of the woodwork. Yes, we do, Ed. A really big shoe. And so this week, we're going to talk about the Fed. And as we've described on many, many shows in the past, we believe that the most important, I guess, variable or impactful thing that happens to the stock markets is the Federal Reserve. And if you look back at the Great Depression, you look at the Great Recession of 2008, I give those both to the Fed. And then you look at the recoveries afterwards, I give those to the Fed. And so a lot of stuff. The Fed, I believe, is what really moves markets. And so therefore, we've been listening very carefully to what the Fed has been talking about. And it sounds very much like they are going to lower interest rates at the end of this month, and probably if not then, very soon after. So we're going to go over with you what we think is going to happen if they do. Now, also, when you are if you are an investor, basically what you're doing is you're putting your money at risk. Nobody pays you a rate of return on your money unless there's a risk there, right? You give them your money, you want to be paid for having given them your money to do something. And the more risk it is to get it back, the higher the rate of return you want to get on that money. So it's all about managing risk. And so when you are retired, especially, it is important, in my view, that you manage risk. Okay, so we're going to talk about four ways to manage risk in retirement. Okay, now, you know, other shows might give you three, maybe the number one way, but we give you four. We go the full Monty, I tell you. Now, also this week, we're going to talk about Social Security. And so we're going to go over some strategies. And as you guys know, if you have questions with regard to Social Security, you may simply go and email it to me. I am my email address is ken@rpoa.com. That's for Retirement Planners of America. And I'll endeavor to answer your questions. And actually, I'm going to clarify something I said last week, because I got a lot of emails from people saying, wait, did you say that? Did you not? And I think I may have not have been as clear as I should have been, so I'm going to review that first before we answer this week's questions. Now, also, one of the things that is fundamental, foundational to our investment philosophy for our clients is that protecting principal is job number one. That's it. Now, growth is important. Keeping up with inflation is important. Getting income to support your lifestyle while you're retired is important. Those are all very important. But job number one is preserving what you have. Because if you don't have that, nothing else happens after that, okay? If you lose all your money, then having income, worrying about, keeping up with inflation, all those things go away. So protecting principal is the number one job in our view. So therefore, I'm going to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, are you prepared for the next market crisis? What have you done in your investment plan? What is there in your strategy going forward that if we have another Y2K or we have another 2008 that you are protected against major losses that could totally derail your retirement? What have you been doing about that? So we'll talk about that later on in the show. Now, you know what, Jack? Most shows would stop right there. Most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me.
No, don't you dare stop me, because on this show, do we only go where we are expected to? Of course we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. And that's the part of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And so this week, we're going to talk about maybe what I would consider to be the most common mistake that I see people make, and that is that their beneficiaries are set up all wrong. Okay, so we'll go over your beneficiaries on your IRAs, life insurance, all that kind of stuff, and give you some tips on how to do that properly, at least in our view. All right, so we'll have that all for you. I got to tell you something that happened in our family, though, before we get started that was very sad. Fluffy, who is our Himalayan, and if you picture Himalayan, his name is appropriate, okay? He's just a big explosion of fur with two giant marble, blue marbles for eyeballs. And he's the cutest, nicest, best cat. I'm not a cat person, but Fluffy is the best cat, I think, was in the world. And 17 years old. So I guess in cat years, that's something like 108 or something. So he lived a very long life. And in fact, he used up all nine of his lives. He had cancer. He had a heart attack. He had, he had all kinds of stuff. Survived it all. And all the family, my three daughters, were all home for July 4th, and so it actually worked out quite well because the night before he died, everybody was loving on him and spending a lot of time. The girls were crying and telling stories about when he was a pup, a kitten, and so we got to say goodbye, even though we didn't know he was going to die that night. And the next morning, he had passed. So it was very, very sweet. It was very nice, and we loved Fluffy. You know, those little furry things, you get really attached to them. It's amazing. So anyway, let's talk about it's the Fed. All right. Now, one of the things that it's kind of an interesting dynamic to me because, you know, I've been studying the market now for 29, almost 30 years. And you always look at what seems to be weird behavior. The stock market, in my view, always exhibits very weird behavior in the short run. And what I mean by that is that if you look historically at times when the Fed is raising interest rates, historically, that's a bull market, okay? Meaning the stock market's going up. Now, why? Well, because if the economy's improving and we have growth and we have all that, the Fed wants to control inflation, and so they normally raise interest rates. And so that's normally a time when you see a bull market. So therefore, you would expect, given that the stock market would want the Fed to raise interest rates, right? It would be like, hey, during times of rising interest rates, the market's doing really well. It's usually a bull market. I want that. But no, that is not what the stock market wants. The stock market wants lowered interest rates. And what's interesting about that is that most of the time, when the Fed is lowering interest rates, it's when we're going into a recession. Why? Because they want to stimulate the economy. They want to get things going up faster. We're slowing down, and it tends to be times when the stock market is not doing so well. So it's kind of a weird dynamic that the stock market actually wants what isn't good. But in the short run, and when I say short run, I mean about a year, when the Fed starts lowering interest rates, as it looks like it's about to, what we see is that the stock market does very well. If you look at the last six times that the Federal Reserve, that's going back to 1971, that the Federal Reserve has lowered interest rates in a period where we were not in a recession, which I would say we're not in a recession now, and they're about to lower interest rates, it looks like. So when they've done that, a year later, the average up in the market, the S&P 500 index, has been 16.4%. Average. Okay, now 1 year was up 40%, which is crazy. So what does that mean? It means the stock market loves its drug. It wants its free money. But in the background, you got to think, why are they lowering interest rates? It's not a good thing. When the reason why they're doing it is not a good thing. If the economy is slowing down, that's not a good thing, right? So in the short run, we are very bullish right now. So if you are not invested, we believe you should be. And if you are, we believe you should be diversified and you should be protecting against the downside at the same time. So here's what I want you to do. Go to our website. Our website is retirementplannersofamerica.com. Now, you can type all that in if you want, or you can put in the acronym, which is RPOA.com. You can pick whichever one you prefer. And you can go to our website. While you're there, we have articles about retirement planning. We have podcasts of this show and other podcasts. We have videos on a variety of topics. We have a lot of information on there. And then also, while you're there, if you'd like, you can also sign up for one of our seminars. We have seminars near you. At the seminars, we talk about how to calculate if you have enough money to retire on. We call it your magic number. We talk about five strategies to reduce your income taxes. We talk about how you manage your retirement cash flow. when should you take Social Security? When you're 66, when you're 62, when you're 70, how do you take it? We have a ton of stuff at our seminars that you can benefit from, and you can sign up for that at our on our website, rpoa.com, or if you want to type the whole thing out, it's retirementplannersofamerica.com. You pick it. Anyway, go to the website and get lots of information and learn and attend our seminars and do all that good stuff. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about four ways to manage risk in retirement. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack, and we are the bonanza of the airwaves. We share with you the golden nuggets of financial information every week at this time. I'm glad you're with us. I hope you are having an absolutely fantastic weekend. You know what? I love doing the show, so whenever I'm doing the show, I am having a fantastic weekend myself. So I'm glad you're with us. I hope all is going well. Before we go a step further, let me introduce myself to you. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And I'm also senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America, and we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. In fact, I'm very proud to say that as of last week, every single one of our advisors, when they that you would talk to if you were to come visit with us, are now a chartered retirement planning consultant. So when you Yes, indeed. So when you talk to any of our advisors at our firm, you're talking to somebody that has is now what's called a CRPC, which is kind of cool. We're going to talk now about four ways to manage risk in retirement. And since we work with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon primarily, that's something that's very important, is managing risk. And, you know, when you invest, as I said at the top of the show, when you invest your money, the only reason somebody is willing to give you money over what you gave them, that interest or the whatever it is that you're going to get, is because there was risk involved. You parted with your money, and you, in exchange for that, want to be paid something for the risk that you took that you might not get it back. That's basically what it is. So if there's a high risk that you're not that you will lose it, then you want to get a higher return so you get your money back as fast as possible. If there's a very low risk that you could lose it, then you don't need such a high return. You can get a lower one. So that's why, you know, the treasuries and U.S. government bonds are the lowest paying, because the likelihood of getting paid back is very high. And then you have other things where they pay, you know, a high, very, very high interest rate or a super high return. Why? Because it's very high risk. You could lose your money. So yes, indeedy. So let's talk about the four ways that you can manage that risk. So the first one is diversification. And basically, that goes back to the old tenet of don't put all your eggs in one basket. And sometimes I meet people that, you know, when they come in and we review their portfolio, I remember one time we had a couple that came in and they had 28 different mutual funds. And they were very proud of how diversified they were. And we do what's called an X-ray. We look inside all the different mutual funds to see, you know, what is it invested in and are they different or not? Are you really diversified or not? And basically, they had 28 large growth funds. And if you look at what they were invested in, they all pretty much invest in the same thing. So they had 28 of the same thing. Okay, so quantity isn't necessarily diversification. It's diversification means you have different things, not lots of the same thing. Okay, and if you diversify properly, then you have investments that zig when the others zag. And so what that's going to do then is it should minimize your risk. Now, it also dampens your returns. That's the exchange, right? In other words, if you were all in the thing that goes up 30% this year, then you would have made 30%. If you diversified and you had things that went down when that thing went up, then you wouldn't make the same 30. So the give up, the cost of diversification, so as to minimize risk, is that you also are very likely going to reduce your upside as well. But that's a good trade-off. If you're going to be retired soon, or you are retired, we believe that is a trade-off that you should take. It's not important to make the highest return with the highest risk anymore. It's more important to have protection against downside, in our view. Now, the second thing is asset allocation. So asset allocation means the percentage that you put in different things within for example, the stock market or the bond market. And we've talked about this on our on this show many times before, and you can go on our website and listen to podcasts about asset allocation that we've talked about. But basically, we believe there are 11 asset classes. There's large companies and small, there's foreign companies and domestic, there are government bonds and corporate bonds and all that kind of thing. And cash, we believe, is also an asset an asset that should be in your portfolio. And so those 11 asset classes and how you allocate, in other words, what percentage do you put in each one of those, will determine how much risk you're taking. So if you put most of it in the higher risk categories, then you're going to be a higher risk. If you put it in mostly in the lower risk categories, then you'll be in lower risk. So how you allocate within your diversification is also going to determine how much risk you are taking and how you manage it. The third thing that we look at in terms of managing your risk is what's called dollar cost averaging. So, you know, when somebody comes in with cash and they say, you know, I've got cash, you know, I just sold a business or I inherited cash, whatever it may be, and they have cash to invest, it's very rare where we'll say, okay, let's put it all in, okay? And the reason why we don't want to do that is because if you put it all in and the market goes down right after you put it in, then you just took a big loss. And, you know, no matter where you are in time, we never know when the market is going to do something, okay? Nobody has a crystal ball that works. I have a crystal ball that I haven't found the switch for yet. I'm still looking for it. I don't know how to turn it on, but I do have a crystal ball that was given to me as a gift. But anyway, back to our story. So dollar cost averaging means that what you do is you take the money, pardon me, and you invest it a little bit at a time, okay? You go over maybe 4 months or 6 months, so you invest a little bit at a time, and that way you're buying as the market goes up and down, and you're buying at different prices, but it smooths out your risk in that category. Now, of course, if the market's going straight down and you're buying on the way down, it doesn't guarantee you won't lose, but it does mitigate against those losses. And finally, number four is that you should also have what is, in our view, what is commonly called a stop loss strategy, which means that there's a certain point where you trigger out. There's a certain point where you've lost so much that now it's time to just take your marbles and go home.
There's no doubt about it.
There's no doubt. And in our view, in our world, at our firm, we call that buy, hold, and sell. Okay? In other words, invest and protect. And so in November of 2007, our strategy, our stop-loss strategy, said it was time to sell. We told our clients to get out of all equities, and everybody listened to this show. And those that followed our advice did not partake in the credit crisis and the stock market crash of 2008. So we believe that you should have a strategy that basically, when you reach a certain point, you don't play anymore. The risk is too great. It's not worth it anymore. Okay, so those are the four ways to manage risk while you are retired or about to retire.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Well, I am too, Tom. Now, I would like to invite you to go to our website. It's retirementplannersofamerica.com, or if you prefer, you can just type in rpoa.com. And while you're there, you can sign up to go to our seminar. We have actually a webinar that you can watch on retirement planning also. We have podcasts, we have articles, and also you'll have the opportunity to meet with one of our retirement planners. You can click on meet with an advisor, and if you do that, we'll sit down with you. We'll review your entire financial plan. We'll look at where you're invested and all those kind of things. And if we can help you, that is just fantastic. And if not, we're going to tell you that too. Either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I think it is too. So it's retirementplannersofamerica.com or rpoa.com. All right, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have Social Security claiming strategies. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And on this show, we try to rain down upon you financial planning ideas that can help you with your retirement. We are the firm. I'm Ken Morafe. I'm a senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. And we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. And so everything we talk about on this show is geared towards helping you to have a successful retirement. We have two goals for our clients. One is we want our clients to have financial peace of mind. We don't want you to worry about all this boring financial stuff. We want you to let us do it for you. We want to get the gray hair, and you continue to keep your nice, beautiful black hair, if that's your color. And we also want you to have peace of mind. We want you to go play, and we want your money to last as long as you do, so that when you are really, really old, you still have money left over for those greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs of yours.
And I love it!
And that's what we want. And you know, what we say is we're not here to make you rich quick. We are here to keep you from becoming poor. And that is a true fact. Now, One of the most important components in your retirement planning is Social Security. And we talk about Social Security almost in every meeting we have with clients. It's a very big deal. And for most people, it's the largest source of income when they are retired. So important that you do it correctly. And in fact, if you go on the Social Security website, it says there that there are 9,100 ways to apply for Social Security. Did you know that? So which one is the right one for you? I don't know. Without meeting you, without going over all your variables and what's going on in your life, I can't tell you that. Okay, there's no one size fits all when it comes to this. So don't just go applying for Social Security without knowing what the facts are and educating yourself or talking to somebody that does. Now, last week, I had a question from a couple that they sent me their question. And I think when I answered it, I didn't answer it in a way that was clear. And so I want to clarify. There is a in the Social Security law, one spouse can collect on the other spouse's Social Security. So if you have one spouse that was a high earner and another spouse that was a low earner or never earned wages, the low earning or never earned wages spouse can collect half of the high earning wages spouse. Now, where I want to clarify from last week is, but only if the higher earning spouse is collecting Social Security. I think that was confusing last week. I think I may have made it sound like if both spouses are, if the higher earning spouse is not collecting, the other one can start getting half. No, have to be collecting to be able to get half. Okay. Now, what I'm doing every week is I'm answering questions. So if you would like to send me your questions, you can send them to me. My email address is ken@rpoa.com, and I'll endeavor to answer your questions. So here's this week's, we got some questions here. So this is a married couple, a husband, 68 years old, and collecting $2,400. Wife is aged 65, and she is Social Security benefit at 66 is $1,017. So the wife isn't claiming Social Security yet, and the question is, can wife claim now at age 65? And then have her husband claim half of her benefit now while he waits until 70 to collect his. Okay, so this is called a restricted application. And the answer is yes, he can. And the reason why is because he was over 62 in 2015. That's the thing. So if you're older than 62 at the end of 2015, you can still do a restricted application, and this strategy is available to you. Okay. So if you were 62, if you were younger than 62 at the end of 2015, that strategy is a fantastic strategy. They've eliminated it because it was so good. All right. So be sure to talk to somebody if you are that and you have not started collecting Social Security yet. Okay. So that's a strategy that you should be thinking about because it could be kind of cool. Thousands and thousands of dollars could be yours. Anyway, I want to tell you that, as I mentioned, we are a firm, Retirement Planners of America, that specializes in retirement planning. All of our advisors are chartered retirement planning consultants. And so when you talk to them, they have been chartered. Also, all of our advisors have been put through a rigorous 6-week training course on Social Security. So we're here to help you to build your retirement plan. We're here to help you to achieve the two goals that we want you to have. One is your money lasts as long as you do. And then secondly, that you have financial peace of mind. So if you are over 50, if you are retired or retired soon. Yes, we would love to meet you. We'd love to see if we can help you. And where it all starts is at our website. Our website is retirementplannersofamerica.com, and you can type all that out, or if you prefer, you can type in rpoa.com, whichever one you like best. And when you get there, you have lots of options. You can sign up to go to one of our seminars. We have seminars near you. We'd love to see you there. We talk about Social Security. We talk about your 401k. We talk about reducing your income taxes. We talk about when to take income, how to get income from your retirement plans. We have a ton of information at our seminars. Also, while you're there, if you'd like, you can click on Meet with an Advisor, and you can schedule a time to sit down with one of our retirement planners, and they'll go through your financial life with you, and hopefully we can help you there as well. So all of this is available to you at no charge or obligation. If we can help you, fantastic, and if not, that's fine too. We will part friends either way. So take advantage of that, rpoa.com.
I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
Well, Frankie, you are welcome. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, are you prepared for the next market crisis? So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Ah, the sweet sound of applause. Thank you, Jack. And I have been a certified financial planner professional now for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And our firm is Retirement Planners of America, and I am senior advisor there. And we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, this show is designed for you, and all the resources, everything we have is designed to help you to have a successful retirement. And you know what? We have two goals for our clients and for you listening. One is we want your money to last as long as you do. As we say, we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor. And I think you understand the difference between those two. And secondly, we want you to have financial peace of mind. You know, we call your retirement your second childhood without parental supervision. We want you to go play. We want you to lay on the beach. We want you to play golf, have fun with your grandchildren, go hiking, whatever it is that you want to do. We want you to enjoy that. We want to facilitate it if we can. And the last thing we want you to do is to worry about your money. That's not what we want. And we believe that if you have a financial plan, a retirement plan that you have confidence in, then it'll enable all of the above. Okay, so if you'd like to go to our website and see, learn more about us, our website is retirementplannersofamerica.com. Or if you prefer to type in just rpoa.com, you can do that too. All right, so one of the questions I want to ask you is, are you prepared for the next market crisis? You know, this is now the longest running bull market in history in the S&P, the Standard & Poor's, and it is also the highest rising bull market in history.
Oh, I'm so scared.
And you should be. I don't know who that guy was, but he's smart. You know, if you look at the previous bull markets that were, you know, Y2K was the champion before this one. And guess what happened after Y2K, right? The market went down 57%, the S&P. So these high-rising bull markets are really fun while you're in them. But when they end, the possibility is that they could end badly. And the problem with bear markets is that they come when you least expect them. You know, after the fact, everybody looks at, you know, Y2K and says, well, yeah, everybody knew that all those dot-coms were worthless, that they had no value, and everybody was, but if everybody knew that, why was everybody investing in them? And why were they driving the price up so much, you know, like 20% every 3 months or whatever it was? You know, why were they doing that if everybody knew that? And then in 2008, well, everybody knew all those subprime mortgages were worthless and all those loans were never going to be paid back. Everybody knew that. Well, okay, fine. But if everybody knew that, then why was everybody investing in them? Okay, so it's great that, you know, it's 2020 hindsight is wonderful. You look back and you're like, yeah, exactly. You know, that armchair quarterbacking thing. But when you're in it, it's very difficult to diagnose it. But it's one of those things, you know, Donald Rumsfeld, for those of you who are old enough to remember, he was the defense secretary back in the days of Desert Storm and all that. And he gave a speech, and it's in his book, very interesting. I met him. He's a very interesting man. And he said, you know, there's the unknown unknown, there's the known known, and then there's the known unknown when you go into war. And so he says, the known known you can handle. The known unknown you can handle. The unknown unknown, that's the one that you stay up at night worrying about. In my view, if it's unknown unknown, then worrying about it is a waste of time, but okay. I believe that a bear market is a known unknown. The next market crash is a known unknown. And what I mean by that is I know it's going to happen, okay? Bear markets come just like winter does, just like, I mean, it's part of the recessions, all those things. It's just the business cycle. If I were to ask all of you listening to the show right now, how many of you believe there's going to be another bear market between now and the rest of your life? I bet you. I bet you 100% of you would say there's another one coming at some time, right? So if you believe, so that's a known. It's a known. Well, what the unknown part of it is, when will it come? Okay? And so because it's a known unknown, it's easy, in my opinion, to prepare for something that is a known unknown from the standpoint that you can do things to mitigate it when it happens. If you know that this thing is going to come at some point, then you can mitigate it in advance. It's just like a hurricane. In the summertime, we know hurricanes are going to come. What we don't know is when they're going to come, where they're going to hit, how severe they're going to be. There's an unknown there on that, but there's a known. Hurricanes will come. And so what do you do about that? You prepare. You create levees. You do things, you know, that protect cities and protect communities from those eventualities. Well, why is it that when it comes to your investments, you're not allowed to do that? If we know there's going to be a financial storm coming, we know hurricanes come, we know that's going to happen, why are you not allowed to ever sell? Why do you have to buy and hold forever, take all the pain? You know, I was talking to a couple just the other day that today, 2019, are still not back to where they were before the crash of 2008. That's how much money they lost in 2008. And there's no, in my opinion, if you have and in our firm, just to clarify what I'm talking about, we have a strategy that we call invest and protect, which means that we have a strategy to get out, to sell. You know, don't just stay in and take a beating and, you know, 10, 11 years later, you're still not back where you were. You have to delay your retirement for 6 years or come back and go back to work after you're retired. All those things are terrible. I don't think there's any justification to not having a strategy to mitigate losses in a bear market. Why would you not?
To hear you say that makes me love you, baby.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Is there a Cuba Gooding? There must be a senior, right? Anyway, so I know, and what I'm talking about, you know, actually selling investment, having a stop loss is something that for you, the average investor, is cautioned against. People tell you you should buy and hold. But if you go into the professional investing community, very few of them do not have a sell strategy. Almost all of them have a stop loss. They have a point where they know that they're going to sell that investment. They're done. They've either made the profit that they wanted to make, or they're losing so much money in it that they want to cut their losses. Very few traders, professional investors, do not have a sell strategy. So why is it that you, the retail investor, the person who is not a professional, has to be subjected to buy and hold? I just don't get that. Now, in our firm, you would not be. And I invite you to become a client of ours. If you're over 50, if you are within 5 years of retirement, or you're 5 years in that 10-year period, that's who we work with primarily. We'd love to visit with you and see if there's a fit and talk about our sell strategy, our protect strategy, and everything else. So if you go to our website, it's retirementplannersofamerica.com, or if you prefer, rpoa.com. You can type it all out, or the acronym, rpoa.com. And while you're there, you can click on Meet with an Advisor, in which case we'll sit down with you and go over your retirement plan with you. No charge or obligation, or you can sign up to go to one of our seminars. We'd love to see you there. In person, I believe, is always better, but you know, you may want to just do it over the internet. So
cool.
Our website is retirementplannersofamerica.com or rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I have been a certified financial planner professional for the last 20 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And I'm also senior advisor at Retirement Planners of America. And our firm has been named one of the top 300 registered investment advisors now for the third time by Financial Times, which
to infinity and beyond.
Yes, and we're very proud of that. But you know what? Without our clients, we would be nowhere. So all you clients listening and not listening as well, we love you, love you, love you. Thank you. We work primarily with people who are over 50, retired or retiring soon. So if that is you, then we would love to meet you. We'd love to see if we can help you build your plan, give you financial security if that's available to you, and all of that kind of stuff. And our website is retirementplannersofamerica.com, or if you prefer, you can just type in rpoa.com. And when you're there, we have lots of information on retirement planning that we think you'll benefit from. This is the segment of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. Now, I just want to put a disclaimer in here because periodically I get emails from people that say that my heirs are not greedy or they're not unwashed or whatever. Let me tell you, I'm only kidding. Okay? I'm kidding. It's a joke. I know that your heirs are all very deserving and washed and all that. Okay? But for on the off chance that you need to go hose them off because they aren't, just go do it right now and then we'll all be happy. Well, people take this very seriously. I'm only kidding, okay? Just everybody chill out. Anyway, so this is when we talk about that. So this week, I want to talk with you about probably the biggest mistake that I see. You know, I've been doing this a long time. I don't know how many people I've talked to with regard to their estate planning and their wills and their trust and all that. I'm not an attorney, obviously, but I can look at it and see whether they've named the wrong beneficiary or not or that kind of thing. And I would say that's probably the number one mistake that I see, and that is that their beneficiaries are incorrectly done. So, I want to talk about that with you, but first, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. It's designed to take you from riches to rags. And we do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. So this week, we're going to talk about updating your beneficiary designations. Now, so let me go over with you the rules on beneficiary designations first, okay? And here are the rules. Anything that has a beneficiary designation supersedes what your will says, okay? So let's say that your will says, I leave everything to charity, just as an example. But your IRA beneficiary designation says you leave everything to your ex-wife. I mean, you were married at the time. Well, guess who's going to get your IRA? It's not charity, it's your ex-wife. Same thing with your life insurance. Anything that has a beneficiary designation that you filled out and you said who gets that, that supersedes what your will says. So the important thing and the big mistake that I see very often is that what people have in their will doesn't match what everything else says. And this is either because they just did their will and they didn't go back and change all the other stuff. They did something different in their will than what they had before. Or reverse is they've just started at a new company or they opened up a new account and they named the beneficiaries there, but it's not the same thing that it says in their will, which they wrote 10 years ago. Okay? So just be careful of how those designations work. Now, the other thing also is that when you have beneficiary designations, And there's the potential that this might go away. The law looks like it may get passed. But for the time being, if you name all of your children as the beneficiary of the same IRA, you may be doing them a disservice from the standpoint that there are these what are called required minimum distributions that could be spread out over their lifetimes. And if you have a large disparity in the ages of your children, and I would say when I say that, I mean more than 10 years, and there are people that have that. Then what happens is that the older child will be required to take out more than the younger child would be. But if they're all in the same beneficiary designated IRA or retirement plan, then what happens is even the young one will have to take out as much as the older one. They have to take out the oldest beneficiary's required distributions, and you're forcing your younger child to pay more in taxes. So there's a lot more to making sure that you have your beneficiary designations properly done than simply filling out a form and sending it to HR or writing the form and turning it into your insurance company or whatever it may be. Okay, so talk to somebody that understands what your plans are, what your goals are, what you want to accomplish, and make sure that your beneficiary designations are all properly set up. Okay, now, I want to make you an offer. If you go to our website, it's retirementplannersofamerica.com, or if you prefer, you can type in the acronym. It's RPOA.com, and you can sign up to visit with one of our retirement planners. Click on Meet with an Advisor. If you do that, what will happen is we'll schedule a time for you to visit. We want to talk with you about your entire retirement plan, okay, which includes when to take Social Security. It includes do you have enough money to retire on. It includes how do you get income. It includes when should you take Social Security. It includes estate planning. planning. It includes all those kind of things. We want to help you with all of that. No charge, no obligation. If we can help you, we are just so happy. It's fantastic. And if not, that's fine too. Either way, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
Oh, dear. That's too wonderful to be true.
Well, Dorothy, it is not too wonderful to be true because it is true. We truly want to help as many people as we can. We believe that the more people you help, the more you'll be helped in the process. So we are totally into that. And currently we work with over 8,400 beautiful, wonderful families, and we love them. We are blessed to help them, and we'd love to help you if we could. So our website is rpoa.com, and when you're there, if you want, you can watch our webinar. We have a webinar on retirement planning ideas. We have podcasts there. You can sign up for our seminars, tons of stuff at rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. All right, you know what? This show is over already. I cannot believe how fast it's gone. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. It's only the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.